So Russia says a civilian evacuation from Kherson in southern Ukraine has begun. The Ukrainian army says its counteroffensive has actually slowed down in recent days. Russian forces are heavily dug in, they say, but Kyiv is preparing for a renewed push towards this Russian-occupied city. Charles Stratford reports now from the frontline village of Shevchenkovo.
The order to go is received. They have to move fast. From the cover of trees, we follow this near 60-year-old Soviet-built Grad rocket launcher to a firing position. Incoming Russian shells land to our left. 22-year-old Ukrainian soldier Roman lines up the weapon.
Ukrainian military are firing at positions near Kherson City. They admit that their counteroffensive has slowed down in recent days. One of the reasons, they say, is because the Russians are heavily dug in fortified positions.
Open the boot, open the boot.
We have to fall back fast. Russian forces can get a fix on a firing position and respond in around 3 minutes. Ukrainian artillery fire over our heads.
Another one.
Russian forces respond. Their shells land in a field behind. The Ukrainian commander tells us they are preparing for an advance on the Russian-occupied city of Kherson.
The fortified positions that the enemy have established are concrete, and they have a minimum of 3 lines of defense. We are in high spirits, but we are lacking in equipment to move forward. So we are accumulating the hardware from our international partners. Then we will advance, because we are trying to protect our soldiers and they are prepared for us. The Russian army should not be underestimated.
Roman joined the Ukrainian army 4 years ago. A full barrage of the rocket system he operates lacks precision, but can cover an area 600 meters square. Russian forces use this weapon too.
When I go into fire, I keep a positive mindset, and I am not afraid, because if we panic, we will not achieve our aim.
The hedgerows and tree lines north of Kherson City are full of Ukrainian soldiers and artillery positions. The men here say small Russian reconnaissance teams regularly try and push forward. They are digging new trenches and are ever vigilant for Russian drones above. But hardly a night passes without attacks by Russian missiles or so-called kamikaze drones, killing or injuring civilians in the closest frontline city of Mykolaiv. It's a miracle no one was killed when a Russian missile hit this flower market in the center of town.
The Russians expect me to hate them for this, but I fight these feelings. I don't want to feel hate. I have no desire for their homes to be destroyed. But I want all who came here and occupied my country to be killed.
A Ukrainian tank heads south towards Kherson, where an evacuation of civilians is believed to have begun. Charles Stratford, Al Jazeera, Shevchenkovo, southern Ukraine.
Al Jazeera is covering this story from all angles with correspondents on the ground. Mohammed Jamjoum is in Kyiv. Mohammed Val is in Moscow. First, though, let's go to Charles Stratford. He's in Kryvyi Rih. Charles, how close are we to an offensive against the strategic city of Kherson?
It's very difficult to tell, but certainly according to the Ukrainian soldiers that we spoke to yesterday, they said that they are indeed preparing for such a push. Of course, this comes on the back of weeks of a counter-offensive by Ukrainian forces from the north and the west of Kherson. We understand that the closest Ukrainian forces to that Russian-occupied city are around about 20 to 30 kilometres away. As you heard in our report there, they're basically taking their time. The commander that we spoke to said that they are busy trying to accumulate as much weaponry as they can, and they are waiting for additional support from their Western backers, that Western weaponry that we have seen to be so important in this counter-offensive. But, of course, there are huge concerns for certainly what the Russians are reporting to be up to 50, 60,000 civilians inside Kherson city. And we've seen video evidence of an evacuation possibly already having started from that city. And bear in mind that many of these civilians will not want to be evacuated to the Russian side. We saw huge demonstrations by Ukrainians when the Russians occupied that city in the early stages of the war. So we know there are thousands of Ukrainians that will not want to be taken to Russia. Mm. Whether we're going to see any kind of organized corridor and a cessation of hostilities to allow Ukrainians to move out onto the Ukrainian side remains to be seen. The big concern is, though, is how these civilians, if they indeed do want to move or if they are forcibly moved, will get across that river. We know that the Antonovsky Bridge, the main bridge across the Dnieper River south, has been compromised, heavily damaged. And we also know, certainly according to the Russian commander, he's saying that the new Russian commander, Sergei Sorovikin, saying that the large hydroelectric dam, which is about 50 kilometres up the river north of Kherson, he's saying that that has been hit as well. Obviously, this has huge implications for supply chains for Russian troops, but also for food and vital materials for the civilians still inside Kherson, as well as potentially evacuation routes out.
All right, Charles Stratford, thank you to you and your team for your reporting. Thank you very much and stay safe. Now, let's look at the areas that Russia is struggling to hold on to. Its forces have been driven back up to 30 kilometers along the Dnipro River, which is a strategic natural hurdle on this terrain. The Ukrainian army has destroyed two major road bridges across the waterway, cutting off Russian supply lines. And Kherson, we've been saying it's key. Why? Well, partly because it controls the main land route to the Crimean Peninsula that Russia seized back in 2014. All right, Mohammed Val joins us from Moscow. Mohammed, I was planning to ask you about the power situation, because entire chunks of the country have just been cut off from the power grid.
Right, Cyril, I think you wanted first to ask me about what's happening on the Russian side, and that's basically summarized in the statements by Sergei Sorovikin, the new commander-in-chief for the Russian special operation in eastern Ukraine, eastern southern Ukraine. He basically acknowledged for the first time that Russia is in a difficult situation. I mean, the Russian army there. And he said the evacuation of civilians must happen as soon as possible, because Russia wants to make sure those citizens are protected, and Russia has the ability to protect them. They were provided safe and free transfer and crossing and accommodation on the southern side of the river, the Dnipro River. And also they were urged to even go into Russia itself if they want. The Russians saying that this is a voluntary transfer. If they don't want to go, they can stay, but they have to take the risks of staying where they are right now. They are talking about a new push and new plans by the Ukrainian army to attack Kherson, and particularly the infrastructure. He talked about the dam that you have just mentioned a little earlier, or Charles has just mentioned. That dam has been compromised, and it might release water. It's a hydro power dam that might release water, and that could cause floodings that will further jeopardize the lives of those civilians. It's a tough situation. Remember that usually in Russia, it's the Minister of Defense, who gives statements of this type, or the commander-in-chief of all the armed forces. But this man has just been appointed a couple of weeks ago, and this is a precedent that he is giving such a huge statements and remarks about what's happening, and particularly about the difficulties Russians are facing. But he also said there will be tough choices to make and tough decisions to take during the next few days. And understandably, you know, he's known his history in Syria. He led the operation there, the destruction of Aleppo and so on. And we have seen this increase during the last few days of those suicide drones across Ukraine, very much a reminder of what could happen, what the Russians might do, and also a reminiscent of what happened in Syria the barrel bombs in Syria and so on. So, I mean, he's certainly, from his words, between the lines, he's planning something big, but at first he wants the civilians to be moved away from that area before the Russians take tougher and more drastic measures there.
All right, Mohammed Val, thank you very much for your reporting from Moscow. Thank you for that mistake at the top. Now let us go to Mohammed Jamjoum. He is live for us in Kyiv. And so, Mohammed, I was planning to ask you, that's what I was telling Mohammed Val earlier, ask you about the power situation, how we're doing there. But I also can't help but notice that you've put the vest and the helmet back on. Tell us what's been going on where you are.
Well, that's right, Cyril. Just in the past 15 minutes, the air raid sirens started ringing out across the city of Kyiv. It's the first air alert that we've had today. Over the course of the past few days, many times throughout the early morning hours, throughout the early afternoon, and sometimes even in the evening, the air raid sirens have rung out because there were two consecutive days of airstrikes here. You had drone strikes on Monday. You had missile strikes that were hitting around the area yesterday on Tuesday. We have not had any reports as of yet of any missiles targeting any specific areas or any drones being spotted above, and we've not had any reports yet of the air defense systems of Ukraine shooting down any incoming objects. That all being said, because of the strikes that I was just telling you about that happened first by the kamikaze drones on Monday and then by the missiles yesterday, there have been many power infrastructure sites across the country and even close to the capital that have been hit these past 48 hours. Because of that, there has been a great deal of concern being expressed from Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky and many other Ukrainian officials as to the fact that so many critical infrastructure sites have been damaged. They're saying that at least 30% of the country's power stations have been hit since October 10th. And because of that, they are urging citizens to start to try to conserve on their power usage. They're also saying that there could be power blackouts happening in the days and weeks to come. This is a big concern right now because temperatures are dropping precipitously as winter approaches. Now, one of the areas hit close to where we are yesterday is the Desnyansky district. That's east of the capital. It's about 30 minutes away from where we are right now in the center of Kyiv. We spent several hours there yesterday. When we were there speaking to residents of an apartment complex, they were without water. They were without power. It's the second time it's happened to them in the last 2 weeks. And they were really worried about what this bodes for them for the weeks and months ahead. Since we spoke to them, we have been told that power in that area and utilities have all come back online. And that's really the pattern that we've been seeing a lot in the last week in the areas that we visited. When there are strikes, when power is offline, it doesn't seem to take too much time before power is restored in those areas. That being said, though, there are still areas of the country where power is out, and the concern right now is that there will be more areas of the country where power is out in the coming days, weeks, and months if there are continued Russian strikes. This is what Ukrainian officials have been saying. Cyril?
All right, Mohammed Jamjoum reporting from Kyiv. Thank you very much.